about 7 miles away from Jerusalem, these two disciples, they weren't in the temple. They weren't in a synagogue. They were not in the holy city of Jerusalem. They were not preaching. They weren't in any other disposition, but on the way. And it really didn't matter whether it was from Jerusalem to Emmaus, as this gospel account tells us. They were in an in-between. They were in-between places. And they were walking downcast. Because as far as they were concerned, all of their dreams were dashed. It was over. And unexpectedly, Jesus appears in the midst. We're told they were prevented from recognizing him. Now we know that that becomes a common theme in the post-resurrection scenes of the gospel. They all had difficulty recognizing Jesus as he was appearing in different form. But one might argue that the reason why these two particular disciples could not recognize Jesus was because they were going in the wrong direction. They were going away from Jerusalem. In Luke's gospel, Jerusalem is the site of all the action. Everything happens in Jerusalem. The word of God is fulfilled. The mission of salvation consummated in Jerusalem. They were walking away from Jerusalem. But by the grace of God, when this mysterious figure enters into their conversation, they stopped on the way and allowed him to engage them in conversation. But we can identify with these two disciples, can we not? Think about it. You had a New Orleans Saints football game. It's a big game. One of our rivals. It's been hyped up all week. But as the fourth quarter has rolled in, and looking at the scoreboard, looking at the time on the clock, it's a foregone conclusion. And what tends to happen? A vast majority of the fan base heads for the exits. Only to get into their car, tune in their radio to WWL to find out that a turnover took place. And all of a sudden, events have turned around. And the Saints are now in a position and actually end up winning on a last-second field goal. Oh yes, we can identify with these two disciples who are going away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But in as much as it looked as though all of their hopes were dashed, they still had a life stake in it because they were discussing and conversing about things that had happened to Jesus. So they were still connected, just like those fans who leave early from the game. Or kicking themselves, gosh, I should have stayed. But they stayed tuned in. They were connected on the radio and thereby heard the news. And albeit they couldn't go back into the stadium because you couldn't return in once you leave, they probably made plans to return to the sites of celebrations, be it the French Quarter, the Riverwalk, or wherever they feel like the Who Dat Nation would be assembling, they were going to go. As a result of this conversation, these two disciples, as they are arriving at their destination, they can't quite put their finger on it, but one thing has occurred to them. They do not want this stranger to go away from them. They invite him in. Stay with us. And Jesus, respecting always where somebody is in their journey, in their relationship with God, with themselves and others. He was not going to impose his way on these people, but he was certainly waiting and hoping for the invitation that indeed came. He entered in, and it's the same way with you and I. The Lord will never impose himself on us, but he certainly will will try to present himself in such a way or a situation, he'll let circumstances arise in such a way that we can begin to consider something more might be happening, something more may be available, to the point where we might open our hearts to allow him in, and he will come in. The book of Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens up, I shall come in with him and dine with him." And so he does. He takes up bread, offers the blessing, and it was when the breaking of the bread happened that their eyes were opened. They recognized him, but he vanishes. The church has always seen this scene as Jesus taking the elements of bread and wine and consecrating them. We should recognize here that as a result of the conversation, Jesus engages these two disciples who are on the way back. Remember, they're walking away from Jerusalem, about 7 miles, significant number 7, symbolic number, biblical number 7, usually speaks about completion, something coming to pass, something happening. About 7 miles is when Jesus appears and engages them in the conversation. And with the conversation, what does he do? Recounting for them all that has happened from Moses and the prophets, because there was no New Testament yet, only the Hebrew scriptures, Jesus opens their minds and their hearts to this. And in so doing, what is he doing? He's enabling them, presenting them with the pattern of love that he has communicated and modeled for them all the way to Jerusalem, to the event that took place that they felt was all over for their dreams. No hope left. We are disappointed. We thought he was the one. And there they are. And here we are. The same pattern of liturgy is still happening. We come in, we express our disappointments, our foibles. Some of us, we're in an in-between, and we are in an in-between place, beloved. We are in a time in which something has already been accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not yet fully realized in us, the mystical body. We are still on the way. We're always in between places. And so long as we are in conversation, so long as we're still grappling, struggling to understand, striving after this mystery, ever ancient, ever new, so long as we're striving after the love of God within ourselves and in the community, Jesus is always on the lookout, always going to present himself to us on some level, in some way. So that by the time we recognize and witness the breaking of the bread, we too will recall as they did then. What? Were not our hearts burning within us as he opened for us the scripture and explained to us everything? Is that not the case? We have the phrase, everything is 20/20 in hindsight. When we look back, we can see clearly how God's action, how his word, how his presence was very much there in the midst of a trial or a tribulation. We didn't see it then. It was too close to us, but he was there just as much as he's here right now. And so it's in the breaking of the bread that we can hopefully have the same movement and renewal of faith and hope that moved these two disciples to go back from whence they came. What did they encounter? Others, just as themselves, who had encountered Jesus. And they made it a point to say, "Oh, he even appeared to Simon Peter." They probably said, could you imagine that? All of them remembered how braggadocious Simon was at the Last Supper. Even if everybody else leaves you, I will not leave you, Lord. Even if I have to go to death, you remember they heard. They heard him boasting. And so it happened when they said, and guess what? He even appeared to Simon. You know, if he appeared to Simon, there's hope for all of us. There's hope for all of us. Yes, there is. Just like you and I, or in the hearing of the word, and soon to be partakers, participants in the meal, in the sacrifice, we too will be emboldened and strengthened with the blessing of God to go back to Jerusalem. Wherever the cross is in our lives, we go. Because it's where the cross is that we experience the consummation, the results, the fruits of his one perfect sacrifice that made a permanent marriage between divinity and humanity. As we go along the way, the Spirit will guide us and see to it that our faith is enlivened, our hope is strengthened, and our charity increased, that we might continue on the path that leads to life, which is Psalm 16, our responsorial psalm today. For it says in that same psalm attributed to the authorship of David, he shall not let his beloved see corruption. Remember, Lazarus was raised after 4 days. He was brought back. Jesus rested 3 days. It was always believed that the corruption sets in on the fourth day, not the third. Jesus was raised on the third day. And for those of us who accept him as he is, hold fast to his life-giving word in the same spirit that enlivens hearts and minds that he breathed upon us, we too shall be raised up as he was and is in the membership of his mystical body, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We be resolved in this week, beloved, to not allow any moment of grace to go unattended. Seize it and make sure that God's will is done in the earth of your heart as it is in heaven. God love you.